There are a bunch of them. But I thought about including this one I'm going to talk about here, and I almost thought about not doing it because I didn't know whether I really wanted to get into it. But it fits, and it bothers me. So I decided, what the heck, we'll do it. There are some who teach that life is only given when and where the gospel is preached by a gospel preacher. I'm sorry, that's foolishness.
Amen, that's right.
And that's a tradition of men.
Yep.
Now I have officially gone to meddling. That's what you want to call it? What the heck, right? But if you think that's meddling, do me a favor and explain that part to Cornelius and to Lydia, which are in this book, plain and clear as day. There are those, and Paul warns against those that are called wolves in sheep's clothing coming in and bringing bad things, damnable heresies. They call them wolves in sheep clothing, and that scares me. Because some of them are harder to see than others. Because those that teach this about life only being given where the gospel is preached, life from God only being given where the gospel is preached and when the gospel is preached, that's troublesome to me. Because I cannot and I will not, by the grace of God, condone or accept or approve any tradition that limits the Holy Spirit as to whence it cometh or whether it goeth.
Amen.
I won't do it. To be perfectly honest, I find it silly to think that the Holy Spirit, who is God and is everywhere, can only give life to the elect, chosen people of God when they're in a true gospel church under the sound of the gospel of Christ. The scriptures teach differently. You're not really going to find too many gospel sermons in the New Testament that were preached in a church. They were letters written by Paul to churches, to certain people. And yet that word has taught many a truth to many a believer. Well, to all the believers. And you can look at the examples of Cornelius and Lydia for yourself. The scriptures teach differently. Now, some people may not know any better, because this is all they've ever heard, this is all they ever know. I understand that. But I am afraid some do know better. And if this is truly what they believe, they might want to make their calling and election sure. Because I do know this. A little leaven still leavens the whole lump. Because what this teaching can lead to was shown to me. A couple years ago, we got that letter from that fellow Jeremy. Walter and I got a letter. It was addressed to the assembly, but it was addressed to Walter. And I think my name was on it, too. This letter was from a fellow, I think, out toward Colorado. Out west somewhere. And he attended an assembly and said they taught the sovereignty of God. They taught sovereign grace. And maybe they do. I don't know. But they had visited our website and thought we might all have something in common. And they offered us some support, monetary. But there was just a couple of stipulations. Because according to his letter that he sent us, these folks seemed to believe that anyone and everyone who would go to an Arminian church or a free will church is lost. Each and every single individual. But he didn't stop there. See, that's what I'm talking about. One thing leads to another. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He stated, and I wrote this down because it's kind of an odd way to put it. He stated that anyone who believed that someone in an Arminian church could be saved, the person who believed someone in an Arminian church could be saved, that person must be lost. Because he don't know the truth. Now, I don't know whether this guy knows Christ or not. I hope he does. But to have anything other than the knowledge of Christ and the belief of the Christ of God as a criteria for whether anyone's saved or not is dangerous. And I'm going to tell you something, it leads to goofiness. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it's a good one. And it leads to separation ad infinitum. Because you will end up with a whole bunch of assemblies declaring people out of order, Mason. That's what you end up with. Exactly. And I'm not so sure about me some days. If this man truly believes that everyone outside of the assemblies that he approves of is lost, I would recommend that he make his calling and election sure. Matter of fact, I kind of maybe did in that letter I wrote to him. Anyway, the gospel preacher is to preach the gospel. Period. That's it. That's my job when I'm up here. It's Walter's job when he's up here. It was Earl's job when he was up here. Preach the gospel. Indiscriminately to those who are stony ground, part of the wayside, thorny ground, or good ground. I don't know the difference. I don't make the difference.
There you go.
And nothing I say makes the difference. And it never will. And if that's not good enough for some preachers, you got a problem. Your problem ain't with me, it's with God. And you can snub me all you want, I don't mind. Because sometimes, David, the less neighbors I have, the better. If you want to try and snub God, you go right ahead. I'm going to stay out of the way and step to the side to avoid the lightning. When Jesus Christ spoke of regeneration, there were no means given. None. The Holy Spirit of God, who is God, does not need anyone's help. He goes wherever he wants and he does whatsoever he pleases. The Holy Spirit, some places would find this shocking, okay? Not here, but some places. The Holy Spirit is not waiting for Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday evening.
Right.
And I don't care what any preacher says. Because that's what it comes down to. Now, if they want to, they can include, well, the preacher can be preaching the gospel outside of the church. La-di-da. The gospel ain't waiting on that guy either. The Holy Ghost ain't waiting on that guy. When I wrote this down, it sounds stupid. Because it is stupid. The Holy Ghost is not waiting for Sunday morning. He's not waiting for Sunday night. And he's not waiting for Wednesday evening. Or Thursday visitation. Wherever your full schedule of services is. Because that's the only time he can regenerate people. God's chosen people? I don't think so. Like I said, when I wrote that down, it seemed ridiculous, but that's because it is ridiculous. It's ludicrous, and it's wrong. And it's a tradition of men. It is ridiculous to me to say that the Holy Spirit has limited himself to giving life to the dead sinner only when certain men are preaching a certain message at a certain place. That's just wrong. I'm sorry, that's just wrong. Because they'll say this, and I'll say it. God is the same as he ever was, Mason. Said so on Armenian church as it went by this morning. God's just the same today. Wrote on there, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. That's what it wrote on there. It didn't say, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It didn't have enough room on the billboard. But they don't believe it. It is true. God has never changed. Jesus Christ has never changed. And everybody agrees with this. I am the Lord thy God that changed not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Which is a good thing, because if God's changed is towards you and he's for you, any other change is going to have to be against you. And the sons of Jacob would be consumed. But I am Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's all true. But here's something I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say, other than maybe around here. And this is something I don't think those who preach who preach gospel regeneration quite understand. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Holy Spirit has not changed. The only difference that I've ever read of about the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament times to the New Testament times is that it states now, since Christ has presented that one sacrifice for sin forever, the Holy Spirit now dwells in the regenerated people of God.
Amen.
Now, in the Old Testament times, it would talk about the Holy Spirit would come to someone, but it never said that it dwelt in them. But after the sacrifice of Christ has been accepted by God, Christ told him, he's going to come and he's going to dwell in you. That's the only change. And you know what? That didn't change the Holy Ghost at all. That changed us. He's still the same. But the Holy Ghost didn't change. The Holy Spirit didn't change. I believe that salvation is of the Lord. I believe that salvation was of the Lord. I believe that salvation is of the Lord. And I believe that salvation ever shall be of the Lord. And there are other people who say that. They say salvation hasn't changed. They say, oh, those Old Testament saints in Hebrews, Walter was reading about, they all died in faith. Them Old Testament saints, they were saved the same way we are. By grace. I believe that. But I don't ever I don't think everybody carries that out, because I believe all of it. I believe that those in the Old Testament who died in faith were saved by grace through faith, and that not of themselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe all of it, even in the Old Testament times. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's faith. And these all did die in faith. It says that. It means that. I believe the Holy Spirit gave life to all the people of God in the Old Testament. And he did it without a gospel preaching being anywhere around. He did it without a gospel church being around. Isn't that amazing? I believe that these all did die in faith. I believe that these died in faith, believing in the Christ of God, who they would see with their own eyes. Even though the skin worms devoured that flesh, yet with my own eyes I'm going to see God. There's a little bit of knowledge in the Old Testament. People think people in the old days were ignorant. No. Not when God reveals something to you. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. They were looking for the Messiah, the Christ of God. And they believed that he would come. And he did. I believe salvation is of the Lord. I do not believe in different types of salvation. Walter spoke of it last week. We Gentiles. Or a wild olive branch. We were grafted into the tree. There's only one tree with life. I am the vine and ye are the branches. There's only one olive tree. And that's the one we were grafted into. And that's the one they're going to be grafted into back into later. Still the one tree. There's only one salvation. It's of the Lord. The more it's changed or distorted by men's tradition, the more likely it is to be distorted more. I said what Christ spoke here, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. We need to be careful. This is what Christ spoke against. They were teaching these doctrines for the commandments of men, and they totally ignored. Well, from verse 20, what, to verse 23. Because you thought you eat without washing your hands, you defile yourself. Christ said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, what's the first thing? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. They could be evil religious thoughts. Matter of fact, there's a lot more evil religious thoughts, I think, sometimes than regular ones. Because there are many. Within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. I'm reminded of John Lee Hooker. Did a song one time and said he had the boogie woogie, and the mom said, let him do it because it's in him and it's got to come out. It's in you and it's going to come out. Evil thoughts, murders, blasphemies. These evil things come from within because they're in you and they got to come out. And they defile the man. And then from thence he arose and he left. That was the last thing he said to those guys. What an uplifting sermon. You take the traditions of men and you and try to usurp the commandment of God because you think what you put in you is going to make you bad, but no, it's what comes out of you. And then, bye, see you later. Didn't even give an invitation, David. There's the this is dangerous, and it's worrying. Because Christ is serious here. They try to make the Word of God of none effect through their traditions. The Word of God is bread for the believer. It's food for the believer. Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The traditions of men, like Paul said, the end of the commandment is love. The end of the traditions of men is defile. Every one of them. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, or you will defile yourself. The end of God's commandment is love. Love God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, whoever he is, David. I can't do it anyway. Christ did. The traditions of men would starve the sheep of God, the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Now, I copied down here, I wrote that fellow a letter. Now, I'm not saying, as far as gospel regeneration, anybody believes in gospel regeneration is lost. I'm saying they are mistaken. And I wholeheartedly will say that, and I'll say it to their face. But they kind of avoid the subject because I've been taught by Earl Cochran, and I'm not afraid to say anything to anybody's face. That's why I didn't talk about it to Earl either, because he wasn't afraid to say it to their face. And that's how Walter got ruined. Life's tough. He's not here. He can't defend himself. This is the end of the letter because of what it can lead to, okay? That is a basic format, a basic staple of what is known as the landmark church. If you're not in this church, you're gone. That's the staple of it. Don't believe me? Look it up. But what it leads to, where that fellow wrote me that letter, Walter, that letter, about saying, well, see, you can't be saved unless you're in one of our churches. Or in one of the churches that preaches all the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and what I say is the truth. And you can't believe that Arminians could be saved. Or be saved, are saved, sorry. They can be saved, they just aren't saved if they're in an Arminian church, and you can't believe that they are. That's what this stuff goes to. This is the end of the letter I wrote to him. It's like the last two paragraphs. I do not believe in gospel regeneration. That's still true. I don't. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ saved his people with his substitutionary sacrifice on the tree. I believe that the Holy Spirit goes whithersoever he will, and I cannot know where he came from or where he goes. I believe that after regeneration, conversion begins. I believe that repentance is granted and is turning to God from idols. I believe that God's chosen, regenerated, and converted people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not know or have any limits on the amount of knowledge that has to be present in a person in order for me to think they are saved. I don't know. My questions are this. Is your hope and all your hope in Christ and his work? If the answer is yes, come to chapel with us and listen to what we have to say, because we believe that here. I do not know what everyone else thinks about Arminians. I know it is possible for a regenerated child of God to be in an Arminian church. I was one. I was. I ain't there now. I don't want to be there now. But I was one. The preacher of that place did one thing right. He quoted a lot of scripture. I love the scripture part, but I did not agree with a lot of his explanations. And that's true. It got me into trouble after a while. This came out. And eventually I left that place with no other place to go. I hope this is not the sole criterion on which you and your assembly place your acceptance. We do not have fellowship with the Primitive Baptists in this area because we have a piano. We don't care, but they do. We don't care. I believe the overwhelming majority of people in this world are lost, because few there be that enter the straight gate into the narrow way. That is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a good hope that in Christ I am saved. I hope that some in Arminian churches are saved. I hope that some in Sovereign Grace churches are saved. And I hope that you are saved. Wherever and whenever Christ is preached, I will rejoice. I still believe that. And I hope you guys do too. Like I said, I'm not saying everybody that believes in gospel regeneration is lost. But I am saying they're wrong about that. And I do worry about where this sort of stuff can lead to. I worry because one thing can lead to another. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I worry about that in me. Not just everybody else. I worry about that in me. Because from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. That's enough to damn you. Paul found that out in Romans. When the law came, sin revived, and I died. When I read, "Thou shalt not covet," it's like, wearing your curls, wearing the habit, sounding the horn, the trumpet, before you give alms, pulling the little word of God down before your eyes, because the word of God's ever before my eyes. Thou shalt not covet. That's an evil thought. Everybody's got them. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this day for this place, this time. We are most thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly came here, willingly lived here, and willingly gave his life for the sins of his people, taking them all onto himself and into himself and upon himself, and suffering the penalty for those sins, which is death, the total separation from God. Thank you, Lord, for providing the salvation we needed. And thank you, Lord, for applying it by your Holy Spirit, going whithersoever he will, and coming from wherever he is, and giving life to your chosen people, as he has done from the beginning, and will do until the end. We thank you, Lord, for all this. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.